Somebody want to read?
I'll read.
Va'ata ha-ma'ayin?
Va'ata ha-ma'ayin, havin mimini matal zeh, va'achar kach sim libecha lishmo divrei
divar b'chol ha-yin zeh. I'm giving you a comment right off the bat. That you're a ma'ayin.
Right.
You're not just a reader over here. You're a ma'ayin.
You're not one of these five groups of people either.
I'm not sure what
it
is. What? We've got the...
The
easy to get lost edition.
It's
all one paragraph, right?
Why don't you take the Siskovich over there?
Looks like this.
In the Zikin. What?
Blow the tank. Blow.
Where?
Out here. Okay. So Josh has been keeping up on online? Okay. I'm going to get words in that response. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, so Naniach, Shinar Tsair, Huknas Etel Machanech, Lalam Dahatar.
Okay, so now understand from me a mushal. Okay, and then pay attention to listen to my words in all of this matter. Okay. Get yourself ready here. Naniach. Suppose. Good? Okay. That, go ahead.
Shina'ar tzair huknas etel mechanech lelamdo ha-Torah.
So a young child is brought to a teacher to teach him Torah.
V'zeto ha-gadol alo b'glal ma she'yagia elav min ha-shlemus.
So this is a great good for him. Because what he will get from the perfection of Torah.
Ella shehu machmas gilo hatzayir v'choser dato lo yavin erech oso hatov.
But he, because of his young age and his deficient knowledge, doesn't understand the measure of that good. Okay.
Lo mashi yavi lo miyashlemus.
And he doesn't understand what he's going to get from that perfection. All right, so he doesn't understand the value. So that's the problem. The problem is the parent knows that the Torah is the good thing for the child. That's the good thing. The parent understands that, but the child, because of the fact that he's a child, is incapable of really perceiving the good of the learning. Okay? So he says he doesn't know the Tov and Mashi Yovi Lo Min HaShlemus. Okay.
That's different than the Tov.
Lo Biglo Mashi Yagi Lo Min HaShlemus. No, it's the same thing because that's the same thing. Alright. I don't know. We can work on it a little bit. Let's go on.
Okay.
Great.
Vini hahechach nevi es.
So necessity, necessity brings the teacher, who is more perfected than him, the student, to motivate him on the learning with something that is dear to him due to his youth. So in other words, the problem is that the student is not motivated by the subject matter, right? He doesn't really understand the benefit of the learning. So how do you motivate him? You can't tell him how great it is. You can't tell him how great Torah is. He's just not able to understand that. So you have to give him something that in his framework is desirous. He's got to make a goal that for him is worth it. Mm-hmm. So for instance,
Yomar lo lamad ve'etem lecha egozim o teinim.
Right, so a much simpler time, a very young child maybe, you say to him, learn, and I'll give you nuts or dates.
O etem lecha chaticha sukar.
A little sugar. Right?
Vaz Yelamid Vishtadel. Vaz Yelamid Vishtadel. Lola Etamalimud. Lefisha Eno Yodel Laza Erech.
Okay, so now when the child is going to learn and strive, it's not going to be for the learning. He's not going to be working to gain the knowledge. That's not going to be what's motivating him, right? He's not going to be motivated by knowing the parsha, right? What he's going to be motivated by is, and the reason is because he doesn't understand the value of it, right? But he's motivated for the food.
So
it must be, there's no doubt that in this type of situation, the food is greater to this child than the value of the food is greater than the value of the knowledge. Right? That's why you need something else to motivate him.
ולפיכך חושב הוא את הלימוד עמל ויגיע שהוא עמל בו כדי שיעסק באוסו העמל אוסו המטרה החביבה עליו אבי אגוז אחד או חתיך הסוכר.
Okay, so therefore, right, he's going to think of this learning as a burden, as work, right, an exertion, that he works in it in order to attain with that work the goal that is dear to him, which is the nut or the sugar. Okay, so in other words, now he's going to have to set up a situation where the learning is just like a means, right? It's a certain amount of work. You got to do your parsha, whatever it is. You got to work through it, and that's something that is not enjoyable, but you got to do it. Right? You're not doing it because you enjoy it, you're doing it because it's work. But the work will get you the thing that you enjoy. So it's a trade-off. Right? It's a classic reward situation. Reward for doing work. Right? Go ahead.
Kasher gadol v'nishchazek sichlo v'nase kol v'inav oso adavar haya machshivo mikodem.
So when he gets older and his mind strengthens and that candy becomes unimportant to him, right? Not something that's going to motivate him anymore.
V'chazor l'harich d'varim acherim.
Now he values other things. So the young child values just the pure basic instinctual, right? Appetitive. But then as he gets older, he enjoys other things.
M'shadlim oso v'oso adavar hayoser chashu v'einav.
So now you motivate him with those things that are more important to him.
Yomalo malamdo lamad ekne lecha laim naim o beged shetar rokach.
Interesting. So what's the next move after candy? Is nice clothing. Says to him, by the way, you never lose the older things. You never really lose the older enjoyments, right? It's just they don't motivate you as much. Now he'll say to him, learn and I'll buy you nice shoes or clothing that have a certain form. Yeah, so what type of enjoyment is that? What type of motivation is that?
What?
What kind of a level is this at?
It's more psychological. It's not as intellectual.
Right. It's it's basically like an egotistical ego thing, right? Mm. I mean, it's to look good. Mm. First one is the first one is purely the self. No one else is involved, right? But this is a different level. He's already at a level where he's concerned about other people, you know. Wants to look good for other people. It's more of a different type of a pleasure. It's not a pleasure purely on the internally. It's a pleasure that takes into account impressions on other people. It's how you are going to be viewed by others. So that's an ego enjoyment. Okay.
So
again, he's going to now strive not for the limud itself, but for the clothing. Because that clothing to him is more important than the limud. And that's the whole purpose of learning. What's the purpose of learning? For the clothing. Right? Go ahead.
The kasherti daito yoser shlema v'yakel beinav davar zeh mishalim also b'mashu yoser mizeh.
So again, this is going to lose its hold on the child, and I mean sometimes it goes very long. This one, right? but in normal progression, it wears off, and then you need something stronger. So what's the next step?
V'yomalam lamdo lamad parsha zu o perakzeh v'etein lacha dinar o shnei dinarin.
Interesting. It's interesting that he goes from nice clothing, then he goes to money. Then he goes to money. Interesting. Yeah. So money is good because it's a universal thing. I mean, now you have... it has all the goods of the prior stages. And then you have control and opportunity. Right? You can buy the nice clothing if you have the money. You can buy the candy if you have the money. You can do whatever. It's more autonomy. It's interesting. Certain autonomy the person enjoys. A certain feeling of autonomy to having money. Okay? And still he's going to be learning in order to get the money. Yes? No. And then he's going to learn to get the money. And again, the money is more important to him than the learning.
It's
funny. Now we need a separate halacha.
Yeah.
But still, the purpose of the learning is the money. So that's how you can tell. That's how you can tell which is more important. Ram always comes back to it, right? Mm-hmm. That's how you can tell what's really more important. Because he's doing A for B. So B is the more important thing.
V'kasher yihi bal hakar yoser, v'yakal v'inav gam davar zeh, v'yedesh hu davar pachos erech, mashalim also b'mashu yoser chashuv mizeh, v'omrim lo lamad kdesh diye rav v'dayan. Yichabducha bnei Adam, v'yamdu mifnecha, v'yikaimu devracha, v'yigadol shemecha, v'chayecha, v'acham moscha, v'moploni oploni.
Okay, this is a big move already. This is a big step, right? A big change from the prior levels. Okay, because first of all, over here... Yeah. But the way he describes it, right? He says now he knows.
It's pachos.
Shehu davar pachos erach, right? Did he say about the other things about those things? He just said.
He just said yaka.
Bechozer laharach dvar macherim. Right.
What's pachos erach?
It's less. It's value. It's worth less. It's like a low value. It has like a low value.
That's interesting.
Even money at that point. He realizes. He realized that whole world is a different world. Sounds like he's saying, in other words, going from candy to clothing to money, you're in the same framework. Right? Saying, but there's a point where after the person learns, he says he has more hakara, he has a bal hakara yoser, he has greater recognition of ideas, of reality. And now he realizes that whole motivation is not a good motivation. That physical, pleasure-oriented motivation is not good. yeah. So where does he go now? That's one side that you see is different from the prior one. It sounds like a different, like he's changing his whole, he has a change of perspective, not just objects. Not just different objects, but a different perspective of what types of things are valuable. What realm. Because you see that from what you're enticing him with. Now, all of the other enticements had nothing to do with the subject matter at all. Right? It was candy, clothing, and money. But here... Right, that was it, right?
And there wasn't even... There's no connection between the subject matter and the thing that he's getting.
That's right.
You learn... A and you get something completely different.
Completely different, correct.
That has nothing to do with what you learn. What you learn,
that's
you can
right.
forget the next day.
That's
There's
right.
No.
But here, what's he telling him? He's saying you should strive. What's he telling him? He's saying you'll be a Rav. You'll be a Rav or a Dayan. And people will respect you and stand up for you. And follow what you keep what you say. And your name will be great in your lifetime and after your death. Just like so-and-so. Right? So in other words, here he's telling him, here it's like a combination now. Right? He's combining a secondary motivation. Right? Because it's still not for the thing itself, he's saying. It's still for some... It still is some satisfaction of how you're going to be viewed, but the satisfaction is going to come from your knowledge of the subject matter. The knowledge, your expertise in the subject matter is going to give you a certain recognition. The reward is nothing here. The Malami is not giving him anything either. Right, it's also different. He's not giving him something.
The benefit naturally comes from
the
what he's
doing. Benefit naturally comes. It is a benefit that does naturally come from the learning. But it's a benefit of it still is a benefit, the Ram is saying in terms of a trade-off. It still is a trade-off. I'm still learning in order to get something else. Very, very close to the learning, right? Because it's like composed of the learning, right? The learning creates it. It's like you learn, you become a big scholar, you become a famous, world famous professor, right?
Well, yeah. This seems a little more like difficult to understand than the others, because the others it was very simple. You had a goal, the money. So you do whatever hoops they want you to
right.
jump through, and you get the money.
Right.
Over here, your goal is sort of dependent upon other people's perspective. So you go through this in order to gain their acceptance, but then their acceptance seems totally upon the thing you're doing. Like if you were to involve yourself in any stom thing, that they wouldn't be impressed. It has to be something they
right.
have.
So you credible. So you are saying that Torah is a valuable thing, right? Because that you, those to say that the recognition of being a great Torah scholar is great is saying that Torah is a great thing.
But it's still in a subjective way, though, because if he saw that people didn't respect that, then he wouldn't be drawn towards Torah. It's only
That's true. But that is true. Let's just. So she's gonna learn in order to get that level, in order to get that great, that goodness, that benefit, which is what. And his purpose, he still has an ulterior motive. He still has a motive outside of knowing the subject matter itself. Right, like you said, he wouldn't be happy just to know the subject matter and be quiet, an unknown guy. Right, he still is being motivated by this image of the great person, of being the great person. But he is also recognizing that it is a great thing to be recognized as a person of Torah. But he's still saying, the Ram's still saying, all of this is Meguna.
Right.
Because it still has another... Ultimately, what does he really want? Ultimately, he really wants Kavod. Ultimately, he really wants Kavod. But what's he realizing at this point? I mean, what's he realizing at this point? It's interesting, just to stop for a minute. What is he realizing at this point?
The Maguna is only going on this level.
No, the whole thing is Maguna. It says, V'chol zeh Maguna. Right? What is he saying? V'chol zeh Maguna.
Candy.
Everything
clothes,
is Maguna.
Money.
The whole thing. But, yeah. Wait, give me one second. this point, at this point, the teacher can't give him anything. Right? There's nothing the teacher can give him at this point. Correct? There's nothing the teacher can give him at this point.
He's just promoting his motivation, which seems like it would happen automatically even if the teacher didn't.
It's an interesting thing. Nothing the teacher can give him at this point.
What's interesting is, in terms of the progression, at each stage, you really have to, you know, kind of keep ahead of the person before they get fed up with it, right?
Right.
And my question is, at this stage, is it because of his perfection that he no longer has desires for the physical, or he's had it with the physical, and it's not giving him anything anymore?
It would seem there is some level that he recognizes that that's not where he wants to. That's not the place to gain his satisfaction. I mean, because he could go off and become a businessman at this point if he wants.
No, but, I mean, right? this is not the same thing then, like the guy who becomes a millionaire and then changes to the kavod.
Ram seems to be saying if you apply the first processes properly. In other words, just because the kid is learning for the candy and the clothing and the money doesn't mean he's not learning. I mean, that's the funny thing, right? That's the thing that, because then there'd be no point in teaching him. What's the point? The point is that there's no motivation. But once he is learning properly, he will gain ideas and he will gain knowledge, right? It's just that he doesn't see that ahead of time. He doesn't see what's ahead. So you can't motivate yourself unless you have something real in front of you, right? But the kid is learning and he is progressing, and when he gets past the money stage, I mean, it's assuming he gets past the money stage. I mean, some people don't get past the money stage, and then they just go off into business. But then that means that they weren't good students at the money stage. You know what I'm saying? But if you were, and you did gain the proper ideas at that point, there still is something. So now I realize my wealth is not going to be the place for me to gain my for the good. That's not the place. That's not the realm of the satisfaction to get satisfaction in, right? But he still is lacking. He sort of negated one thing. He still doesn't have. Apparently, he doesn't have the true idea of the value of the life of learning on its own. He's sort of left in a quandary. He's still somewhat in a quandary. He has negated the pursuit of taiva, right? But he still is not motivated purely from the ideas of Torah itself. So at that point, he could use the ego satisfaction from the area of Torah. It's an interesting thing. It's interesting. But there's nothing more that the Milani can give him, because to give him more money, that would be that he's past that stage. Now the student has to realize that the true greatness comes from your own accomplishments. I mean, at this point, that's what he recognizes.
But he still is dependent on the Milani for his learning, though. So
no, I mean, he's not going to give him anything in terms of reward.
He's
not going to give him anything in terms of reward anymore.
Right.
Because at this point, once you're in this realm, the only good, the only satisfaction you can have the only recognition the person's going to get in this realm is for being an outstanding Talmud, an outstanding scholar, an outstanding learner. So he realizes that in this realm, he's only going to gain this recognition from work that he does himself. You understand? So it's a different type of an ego pleasure. It is different. It's a different ego pleasure. It's not the simple ego pleasure of the nice shoes. right? That's like an accidental. That's like getting an ego satisfaction from a very remote accident to your
being. Because this stems from himself.
Right. Now he recognizes the true ego. Now he's really recognizing that the truer ego satisfaction comes from what you are internally, from your knowledge, from what knowledge do you have. Opposed to what kind of shoes you have, this is the thing. He goes back to the ego, but in a different form. Not the ego in terms of appearances, which is a superficial ego satisfaction, but an ego satisfaction of his level, of what kind of knowledge you have. Everybody recognizes that's a higher ego satisfaction. Everybody would be rather recognized for being smart than for being good looking. Yeah.
I mean, like we said, the premise of this is that
learning is the. I mean, like you said, he could have been a businessman and gotten.
Right.
So the premise already is that this is the truth, and it seems this ego satisfaction is based on a certain value system, right? That he's put his ego satisfaction in this realm purposefully. That's where he's.
Right, because he recognizes that the realm of the taiva is false. Right, but he's not ready to go totally. He's not ready to go completely into the realm of the mind, realm of ideas. He still is. He's giving up the taiva, but he's not able to give up the emotional desires. But so therefore, it's going to fasten to the emotional desire is going to latch on to the other realm. I mean, he's going to become an ego satisfaction out of being a person who has a lot of knowledge in the true subject matter. Okay? But he's saying all of this still is maguna. So what do you need? Go ahead.
Elisha tzrichim l'kach machmas kalus das ha'adam she'osa tachlis ha'limud davar acher chutz min ha'limud.
Interesting, Rav. He says, why do we need to do this? Why do we need to do this? Because of the weakness of the people of the Das HaAdam. Now, what is the singular weakness of the Das HaAdam? What's the main problem? That he makes a purpose, he makes the purpose of learning something other than the learning. Okay. The Yomar, and he says, So he says that why should I learn this limud? What is that? El kedei lahasig bo. What is that word?
Hazaya
means like a dream, like a fantasy.
That's not him talking anymore, right?
Yeah, he says that's the problem here. It's hard to see where the Ram stops and where the Yom Adua Loma and the other that right. Elikidei Lahasig. What is that?
Yom Ar quote Madua Loma Ani Yasalim Azeh question mark end quote and then the Rambam's filling in.
Wait. Let me just stop one second. Okay. Right.
And then the quote, his statement ends, Hazeh. Right, and then the Rambam fills in, why is he doing it? He's just pursuing this fantasy.
In reality, he's just pursuing a fantasy.
Right.
Okay, now what's the other footnote here? Mkor loshen mat koshes Rabbeinu medaber al dimyonos ha'odam ha'bilti sholem u'miyad omer as divrei atzmo. So that's what's confusing.
Uh-huh.
First he talks about the guy who is out of reality, right? And then he immediately goes to his own words. U'benidfas hosem shalom k'de l'savres mishpat because of shenasig bo ze kavod. Vizeh holgus Allah emas. Yeah, I think you're right. That what? That he's saying that's the problem with people. That they say to themselves they need a purpose. They need a purpose for the learning. Right? V'zeu eitz ha-chachamim shelo lishma. That's what the chachamim call shelo lishma. Right. Now, is the yomer, right? That's I didn't look at it for since last week. The yomer, madua lomid ani as a limud hazeh, ela kidei lahasig bo hazayo be'emes. Now, it's saying that he says, why should I learn this except to achieve something which really, in reality, is a fantasy?
Yeah, that's what he says.
Right.
Same concept.
Meaning to say that whole idea is a fantasy. That whole idea is a nonsensical idea. To say that I have to learn in order for something else. That's what's called lo lishma. Right? Kolom ashu makayim es hamitzvos veosa osam velo with the mishtadel lo leman oso adover atzmo el leman dover acher. What is the definition of shelo lishma? That he keeps the mitzvos and he does them and he learns and he strives not for that thing itself but for something else.
And brings the mitzvos.
Mitzvos too. But for something else, yeah. So it's interesting. So the Rambam is saying that what? He's also sort of... So what is he saying though? He's isolating a certain type of a flaw. But he's saying it's like a universal flaw. In man. And what is that? That you need a tachlis for the limud. Right? She'osa tachlis limud dover ache, chutz min limud.
That's only for limud though. I mean, a lot of actions he does perceive as being the good in themselves.
What does that mean?
Oh, I mean, well...
Eating.
Actually, he doesn't perceive eating as the action as good itself, but
he doesn't.
He wants the satisfaction of it,
which is an inherent thing. Oh, what you're saying, that he has to go through the process of eating in order to get the satisfaction.
I mean, for other things, it's like it's much more closely connected. Like this, you see that the satisfaction will come naturally from the eating.
Let's finish where he says what the lishma is, and then we'll come back to it.
Go ahead. All right. So Ramazim Lamash Biarti Lacha Shelo Yase.
So as an allusion to what we're discussing, to what we explained, and the Chum warned us on this, and they said Lo Sase Matar.
I skipped that. Wait, where is he?
Right before that.
Oh, yeah. V'amru lo tasem atar lisgadalahem v'lo kardam lachbor v'hem.
So don't make it into a crown to become great with, or it's like a shovel to dig with. So they're alluding to what we explained. That you shouldn't make the purpose of the limud that people should give you kavod, people should respect you, or gathering money.
Right.
Okay.
You shouldn't make it a parnasa.
You shouldn't make it a parnasa, right.
Valyehe etzlo tachlis alimud ela yediaso bilvad.
So what is the right thing? So he says the wrong thing is people always looking for a tachlis for the limud. But the right thing is that the tachlis should be knowing the thing itself. Go ahead.
V'chein ein tachlis ha-emes ela l'da'as shuhu emes.
And so too, the purpose of truth, the only purpose of truth is to know that it is true. And the mitzvos are truth, and therefore their purpose is to keep them. Yes, yeah, so let's see. So that's the hard point over there, right?
Yeah.
What does he mean over there? Yeah.
And also, the chain, is that?
Which one is that?
Yeah. First, he says that the only.
Right.
Is that talking about two different things, or is it is?
Ve'al yehi etzlo tachlis halimud el yedi also bavad. Well, I think limud ein tachlis emes el odas shuravus. I think he's saying emes is a broader category. The general. Limud is a specific thing, learning Torah, and he's saying it's not just an idea. No, he's saying there's an idea of Torah lishma, but that's really a part of a general concept of emes. You know what I'm saying? Mm. It stems, the idea of limud Torah lishma stems from an idea of how you're supposed to relate to emes. Limud Torah is a particular branch, okay. Right? Yeah, so what's this idea of here? What's this idea and what's the problem that people have with it?
Why does he specifically blast this last category of people? You don't see him blasting the little kid who...
Well, little kid, it's hard to pick on a little kid.
No, I know, but my point is that it seems like he introduces it as a necessary stage, and then he seems to...
I'll fix for you.
Granted, it's not ideal, but it would seem to be a natural stage that people would go through, and it seems like he's...
Well, this last...
Maybe the last stage is where people stay the longest.
Yeah.
It seems like they don't really get... You know, if you get out of learning for new shoes pretty quickly.
I don't know.
That's true. No, that is true. I mean, that is true because you naturally grow out of it. Just by growing up, you grow out of those things. And you're not making the Torah into the goal. The last guy is making the Torah into the goal. And learning every day is reinforcing that goal. But it's in a corrupt way. It's in the improper way. No, right. At a certain point, where the guy's going to outgrow the enjoyment of the learning is not giving him the enjoyment of the shoes. That happens to be what he's at that stage in his life. But this is a state. This is a mature age already, and the learning is reinforcing it.
Where does the pleasure of learning fit into this? When you, like,
that's his last state. That's what
he means by the emes.
That's what he means by the emes.
Explain what type of a pleasure that is, because it's like it's not an instinct to enjoy learning.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But it's interesting. Now, he starts out, the way he starts out is why do you need to have all of these things? Right? Why can't the kid just sit there and learn Torah?
Mm-hmm. It's funny.
Right? Yeah. So what's the answer to that? He says, because the child can't really tell the value of the thing. The child can't see the true value of the thing.
Is that because he values other things?
He's a child. A child.
I understand that.
6-year-old boy.
But he's saying it's a necessary practical evil. You need it for the sake that he'll be involved in learning.
Why can't the 6-year-old child sit and learn and do Torah Lishma? At that stage it's not possible. And he says it's not possible. He says Viha Hechrich. Does he say that? There's a certain necessity. There's a certain necessity due to the child's age that he's unable to understand the value of Torah. There's no way to get him just to sit down and learn for its own sake. It's not possible. Right? But I'm saying, if you can isolate what it is in the child, that's always going to be some remnant of that that's going to be preventing Torah Lishma at any stage, right? So he's saying in the child, it's that what? He can't really see the good. He can't evaluate the good. He can't evaluate the good in Torah.
I mean, because he keeps on saying it's a matter of intellectual development. As he gets he becomes a Baal HaKara Yoser.
Right. It's interesting. That's right.
Is that the kid
Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead. Kid?
Yeah.
So he's saying that if somebody were really to understand the good of the thing, there's no need for an external motivation. Right? If you really understand the good of what you're doing, then there's no need for an external motivation. So in the first three cases, the external is very easy to perceive because it really is a physically external thing. He's getting candy, he's getting shoes, he's getting money, right? The last one, that's what I was saying, nobody's giving anything to him physically. It's not something that he's cashing in at the end of the day. Cash in his Torah tickets to get something at the end of the day.
And it's going to be automatic also. It's not automatic. Something you can divorce from, you can take
That's
away.
That's right. It's tied together and it naturally causes it, right? So that's saying that looks like a truer, that one looks more like a truer motivation. Right? Yeah, one second. But still he's saying that if the person even at that point, he still is saying that the kavod is greater, right? The kavod is greater than the thing itself. Which is somewhat of a contradictory position, obviously, right? Because what's the kavod? The kavod is to know the Torah.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
But the only reason one knows the Torah is to get the kavod. So then what's the value of Torah? Obviously not so great, so why should you give a guy cover for knowing Torah?
Right.
But
when we said he has a certain recognition, it's almost like he's using it just to mobilize an energy, so to speak, towards the cause. Otherwise,
right.
Like you said, he wouldn't be interested at all. He does recognize that's the ultimate good, it would seem.
Right.
Like in a child, like a 6-year-old kid,
right.
When he learns ideas, right? That does each idea that he learned have an effect on him as would it would on like an older person?
No, because he's learning childish things. He's learning Girsa de Ancusa. He's learning things that he should learn when he's a child. Komets Aleph all. Right? He's going to learn Komets Aleph Oh. He's going to learn that.
So it doesn't have to do with learning ideas, this development.
No. Not at the very young age. I mean, as the kid gets older, he is going to learn ideas, and they will mold his thinking. They will mold his thinking. I know the way you asked the question was very extreme. Will it be the same way as an adult? No, he's not going to look at it like an adult. But if you get appropriate ideas for his age, you will influence him, and you will influence his development and equip him with proper ideas. One second. Yeah, so what is this idea that, in other words, first the Rambam says in the beginning that what? He doesn't understand, one second, he doesn't understand what? Right? From the Shlemus. He's not going to understand that good from the Shlemus. Right? So it sounds like he's saying there is a good that comes from the Shlemus, right? That was learning gives you a certain perfection. But then there's a good that comes from that. Right?
Yeah.
So isn't that also like some sort of, you're doing it, you want to become perfected for some good.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't it, What does he mean? You just learn it for the thing itself. Isn't it perfection really? Isn't it something else? You know what I'm saying? You don't just learn it. What does that mean? You learn it just for itself.
Right.
Don't you want to have an effect on you? Aren't you striving for a certain thing? Aren't you saying the learning is going to give me something?
Right.
Right.
And you took away the.
Took away the perfection.
Right. Then he's talking
about. Guy's not going to learn. I mean, there's a lot of truth out there.
Right.
I don't know, all of the batting averages of every Yankee for the past 50 years is also a truth. I mean, do I have to learn that now because it's MS? I mean, what does he mean? What is he referring to? You just have to know everything that's true? And you can't ask why, because then you're like, why are you studying it? That's true. What are you asking me? You want a piece of candy? Well, what's your problem? What's the idea over here, right? What's the idea over here?
Especially when we throw in mitzvos, because that's...
And then mitzvos, right, mitzvos. Mitzvos it's definitely are a means to to perfection.
Right, right.
Everybody agrees that mitzvos are a means to perfection. Right? That's always the problem. If you go really lishma... It's like, it does seem like the Ram says, like you're always looking for a purpose. Everybody's looking, man is always looking for a purpose to what is he doing. Because nobody wants to do something without a reason.
Right.
Right? You have to have some reason you're doing something for. So that's why you're saying most people fall into that trap. Since everybody feel you need a reason to do something, so... When you find a reason that's appealing to the emotions, like to be great, to be known, that's a very powerful combination. But the Ram's saying there shouldn't be any tachlis. But on the other hand, we say how great Torah is. When we say how great Torah is, don't you mean you're getting something out of it? Mm-hmm. Don't you mean there's something that you're getting in the end? That's what I'm saying. You wouldn't say study the scores of the games because there's no greatness in that.
Right.
I mean, people are known for that too, but...
What are you getting when you gain perfection?
What are you getting when you gain perfection? A great good.
What good?
The good.
Now I understand.
Everybody. That's a good question.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Well, when a person is looking for an end, isn't he pretty much just saying, like, I understand that this is some abstract thing that I need to ground to something that I can perceive as a good? Like, eating, that action, that some abstract thing that leads to a perceivable good.
Eating, why is eating abstract?
No. I'm grounding the example some. Meaning, like, that's an action.
What?
I'm grounding the example some. A little.
He's talking about
instead of some.
Eating.
No, I'm saying that if
eating
you eat, the idea of eating is nothing that has anything to do with satisfaction.
Eating has nothing. I mean, it's true idea of why a person should eat. I mean, the perfected person.
No. I'm saying the reason a simple person would eat is because it leads to satisfaction.
Okay.
So. The reason he doesn't just eat alone, I mean, like, eat per se, is because he sees no good in the eating. He sees good in the eating in that it leads to something that he can perceive as a good, the satisfaction. So he needs to put it in his framework. So that's why...
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm saying that a person always looks for an end, because when we say end, we mean that he's taking something that he understands is a good, and then he makes it good in his framework.
Let's have an exercise, because eating is too fun. I mean, it's too much fun. Take something that people don't want to do. That's what you're talking about. Exercise. Will it work with exercise?
Yeah, I think so.
When a person realizes he has to do exercise in order to be in shape and have a healthy body, can we go with that? I'm not sure where you're going.
Okay, yeah, fine. So then being all of those things, like, that's not an end. I mean, like, the exercising,
right.
He's not doing that for that per se.
The exercise is not the end. The sweating and all of that is not the end.
What the end is the thing that he can perceive as a good. He has to eventually make it into his framework.
Help.
Yeah, fine. So then it's the same thing here. I mean, that's why a person's always looking for the end. I mean, it could be any action. Exercising is the exact same thing as learning Torah. He needs to somehow put it into his framework in order to accept it as a good.
Okay.
So, I don't know exactly how the Rambam is saying...
But the question is, what's the good?
Yeah, the Rambam is somehow saying that you combat this by recognizing that Torah itself is a good or something. I mean, like, you keep saying that it's gaining perfection. Again, that's putting it in a perceivable good. Somehow, someone at some level can realize that attaining perfection. But that's just another way of saying I'm putting it in my framework.
Yeah. Just another way of just framing the problem. Is it always, like, just, I mean, I'm saying this in a loose way, but it always seems like when you first read something like this, like, there's, like, an impression that, like, there's a certain naiveness in this. Like, if this really is good, and he's not doing it because of the good, like, it seems like a foolish sort of, you know, he's just doing
right.
it, and not really, you know.
Right.
And if it really is good, though, then he'll be attached to that good, and then... And then that's out of the definition already.
And then, right, once he sees the good, then he's doing it for the good.
Right, which is
not what he's doing.
Right.
Which is out of what he's doing.
Right, which is another end.
Pathless.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, let's just start an answer, okay? You'll think about it a little bit. Let's just start an answer over here. That the Rambam is saying that the purpose of MS is to do the MS, right? Tachlis al MS is what? He says, Tachlis al Ein, Tachlis al MS, El lo Da'as Shehu MS. Okay? See, there are different motivations of man. Okay? There are different motivations of man. So he's saying in most of man's experiences are based on a certain idea that there's a certain good, right? And you have to do things, you have to do other things, things other than the good, you have to do other things to gain it. Okay, in other words, for instance, a person wants to have kavod. So he has to do things that are not kavod, right? He has to do things that are not partaking of kavod, per se, in order to get it. He has to do work. He's got to do work, and then eventually he'll get the recognition, right? Eventually he'll get the recognition. But that pleasure of the recognition, that ultimate good of the recognition, has nothing to do with what he's doing right now. And that sounds bad when I'm saying that. In other words, it's true the recognition is going to be based on what he does now. But it's completely different realms, right? One is his physical exertion now, right? And the other is the way people are going to look at him. Right, he's not involved in the way people are looking at him now. He's not building up a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. It's if he accomplishes something, then he'll get the recognition.
There's no action of gaining the
work. Right, there's no action of gaining the code. If he does all of this work and then it turns out to be a success, he'll get the code. If not, it'll all be nothing. Although, even though he did all the same work, right? A lot of times, it's just a matter of luck whether you get the recognition or not. Okay. But for instance, the guy could be working on an invention, and all of his energies are in the realm of building and constructing, and that's the realm of his activity, right? But the realm of his reward is kavod. Those are two completely different realms. He's involved in he can be involved in mathematics, but his pleasure is not going to be of mathematics. His pleasure will be of kavod. Right, the pleasures of a different nature and sort than the work that causes it. Is that clear?
Yeah.
Rafi, you know what I mean?
No.
In other words, he's doing. If you say, what is the guy doing? now, right? So let's say it's somebody who made Henry Ford made the car and became very famous. Okay, so what was he doing in the shop? What was he doing? He was doing manufacturing. He was organizing labor. He was manufacturing certain right. That's the activity he's doing: building, physical construction, right? That's a certain realm of activity, right? Now, where is he getting his satisfaction from? From the way people view him. That's a different realm. That's a completely different part of life and reality. There's nothing to do. They, of course, give him the recognition because of what he did, but the two realms are completely different. Now, the guy could be a great mathematician, and he's famous, right? His mathematics is one thing, and his fame is a different thing. They're completely different. They're not of the same sort, right? They're completely, and the proof is, people are famous for all sorts of things, right? There's nothing in common with the things people are famous for. People for all sorts of different achievements. So the work that he does is of a certain realm, and then the fame is completely extraneous, right? And if the fame wasn't there, the work that he did would still be there. There's nothing connected between the two thing. But MS, in the realm of truth, it's not that way. In the realm of truth, it's the only activity that's not that way. That the very benefit of the thing is of the same sort of the thing that you're doing. In other words, the very benefit of truth is being in reality. You understand? It's the same sort of a benefit as activity. The activity and the benefit are of the same nature. The activity is gaining knowledge, and the benefit is being in reality. There's no trade-off in realms, as opposed to being in math so that people will talk about me. Those are completely different realms of activity. So whenever your value is other than truth, you must be in a low lishma thing. Truth must be a low lishma to you. But truth is the only thing. Truth, he's saying, for itself, truth is the only thing where the benefit is of the same sort.
He's still saying the action and the good are two separate things.
But the action and the good are two separate things.
Right.
The action and the good are two separate things, but they're of the same sort.
Okay.
Any truth, right?
Any truth.
I mean, a guy who's learning sports.
No, because that doesn't give him any reality. Knowing what.
Sure is
knowing.
Reality,
no.
What, how many
but not a reality
out.
That's beneficial to him. Not a reality. Not a reality. Not. No, it doesn't.
We don't care about benefit, though.
No, we do. We do. We care a lot about benefit. We care a lot about benefit.
No,
you're not listening to what I'm saying then. I'm not saying that.
You're just saying that
I am not saying that low lishma. I'm not saying that lishma means that the thing is just for itself. Because there is a thing outside of itself. But it's in the same value system. It's in the same value system. The benefit is in the same value system. You're right. I wouldn't argue with you. If a guy just... There are people like that who just love to know what every batter hit. And they do it lishma. Because there's nothing else they're getting out of it.
It's just that's a lishma without.
That's a lishma without any erech, without any value. That is a lishma, but it's a lishma with no value. Because it doesn't affect any other part of your life. That is a lishma. Because the guy has no other reason he's doing it.
Same with like.
So
right?
If you were involved.
There are people who do things lishma. But I mean,
so like if you made money purely for the point of making money.
I don't think it's going to make them happy. They just love to do it. They can't help it. right?
Which is like often people can search for pleasure. Which, you know, the guy watches the football game because he enjoys.
Well, that's interesting. That we have to think about. There's like a hedonist. There's a hedonist lishma. But those people are looking for happiness. See, those people are always looking for happiness.
Which is different.
Which is different. And the happiness they're looking for is different from the activity that they're engaged in. They're looking for some psychological tranquility, some psychological satisfaction, which is not a physical pleasure. That is not a physical pleasure. So they're saying, I'm going to do a physical pleasure to get a psychological satisfaction. Yeah. That automatically is different categories. But the guy who's really interested in the truth, he doesn't care about the psychological satisfaction. He's willing to forego psychological satisfaction in order to be in reality.
Just a basic question is, if the activity itself is in the same realm as what he's gaining from the activity, why do we care about the motivation?
Okay, so as I say, it's just a start to an answer.
Okay.
Let's see. We think about it. Think it over. Because something you have to think it over. You have to see it yourself. Okay. You have to see it yourself. And then we'll continue. Okay.